Canto 6, Chapter 18. Diti vows to kill King Indra. Sri Shuka said, from Prishni, the wife of Savita, the fifth of the 12 sons of Aditi, were born the three daughters Savitri, Vyariti, and Trayi, and the sons Agnihotra, Pashu, Soma, Chaturmasya, and the five Mahayajnas. Siri, the wife of Bhaga, the sixth son of the 12 sons of Aditi, my dear king, bore the sons Mahima, Vibhu, and Prabhu, and a very beautiful and virtuous daughter named Ashi. From the wives of Datta, named Kuhu, Sinivali, Raka, and Anumati, respectively the sons Sayam, Darsha, Prata, and Purnamasa were born. The fire gods, called the Purishyas, were by the next son of Aditi, Vidata, begotten in Kriya, and Charshani, the wife of Varuna, the ninth son of Aditi, was the mother from whom Bhrigu took his birth again. Valmiki, the great yogi, was by the semen of Varuna born from an anthill, hence his name. From Mitra, the tenth son and Varuna, there were the two sages Agastya and Vashishta. They, Mitra and Varuna, in the presence of Urvashi, discharged semen in an earthen pot, and from that semen the sages were born as their two sons. Mitra begot in Revati the three sons Utsarga, Arishta, and Pipala. Lord Indra, the 11th son, begot in Paulomi, or Sachidevi, so we heard, three sons, my best, called Jayanta, Rishaba, and Midusha. Lord Urukrama, or Vamana, the 12th son, by his inner potency appeared in the form of a dwarf. From his wife Kirti, the son Brihatshloka was born, and he fathered many other sons with Saubhaga as the first one. The activities, qualities, and power of this great soul, and how he effectually descended from Aditi as the son of Kashyapa, I shall describe later on. Now I shall tell you how from the seed of Kashyapa the demoniac sons of Diti were born, and the later members of the family, the great and glorious devotee Prahlada and Bali Maharaj, who was defeated by Vamana. The two sons of Diti, who by the Daityas and Danavas were celebrated, are named Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. We have talked about them. The wife of Hiranyakashipu, named Kayadu, was a daughter born from Jamba and a descendant of Danu. She gave birth to four sons with Samlada as the first, after whom Anulada, Lada, and Prahlada were born, as also a sister called Simika. She got from Viprachit the son Rahu. His, Rahu's, head was severed by the Lord's disc when he drank from the nectar of the demigods. Samlada's wife Kriti gave birth to the son Panchajana. Dhamani, the wife of Lada, gave birth to the sons Vatapi and Ilvala. When Agastya once visited Ilvala, he cooked and served his brother Vatapi in the form of a ram. From Anulada's wife Surya, there were born the two sons Bashkala and Mahisha. Viruchana was the son of Prahlada, and from his wife the son Bali was born. He begot in Ashana 100 sons, and Bana was the oldest one. I shall describe his praiseworthy character later. Bana was a worshipper of Lord Shiva, and was by him promoted to the level of his chief associates. For that reason, the great Lord is the protector of his capital until the present day. The 49 Marids, also sons of Diti, had no sons themselves, and were by Indra all elevated to the position of demigods. The king said, why, O Guru, did they give up the atheistic mentality they were born with? Why were they, by Indra, turned into demigods? Was it because of their saintly activities? O Brahmin, these sages, together here with me, are all eager to hear about this from you, O Great One. Please explain it, therefore, to us. Sri Shuta said, hearing those respectful, brief and meaningful words of the servant of Vishnu, the omniscient son of Vyasa praised him, and calmly and focused gave a reply, O Shaunaka. Sri Shuka said, Diti, whose sons were killed by Lord Vishnu in support of Indra, burned with anger and thought, clouded by grief, I will only rest and be happy when an end has been put to the life of Indra, this pleasure-seeking, hard-hearted, cruel and sinful murderer of the brothers. Does someone know his self-interest when he, designated as a king, with his body which is doomed to end with the worms as stool or as ashes, nevertheless hurts others in the pursuit of his own happiness? Does such a soul not await the punishment of hell? He who thinks that this material covering lasts forever is out of his mind. Can I count on a son who can fight this madness of Indra? Filled with that intention, she, as a consequence, was constantly of service unto her husband Kashyapa with all kinds of pleasing activities, loving and humble, self-restraint, and with great devotion, O King. Knowing him very well, she, with charming sweet words, smiles, and sidelong glances, managed to bring him under her control. Although being a highly expert, learned scholar, he was thus enchanted by the woman. Being under her control, he therefore acceded to her wishes, a thing for a man not at all that surprising in relating to a woman. Seeing the living beings unattached in the beginning of creation, God the Father, Brahma, created the woman as the other half of his body, and by her the mind of man is carried away. Thus being served by the woman, O my best one, the mighty Kashyapa was very pleased and addressed Diti with an approving smile. Kashyapa said, Ask for any benediction you like, O my beauty, for I, O irreproachable lady, am very pleased with you. What would there for a woman with desires in this world and a next one be difficult to obtain when her husband is well pleased? The husband is considered the worshipable deity of the woman. Vasudeva, who, situated in the heart of all as the husband of the goddess of fortune, is worshipped as the supreme lord by man through the forms and names of the different divinities, is there also for women in the form of the husband. Women who, with respect for the will of their husbands, desire a happy life, O slender-waisted lady, therefore worship with devotion their spouse as being a representative of the Lord with the Supersoul. I, as such a person, shall, being worshipped by you so devotedly, my love, fulfill this desire that cannot be realized by deceitful, unchaste wives. Diti said, If you are for me the one to give benedictions, O Brahmin, I, in that case, with my two sons dead, ask you for an immortal son capable of killing Indra, responsible for the death of the two. After hearing her words, the Brahmin, aggrieved, lamented within himself, Alas, what a great impiety has befallen me today with the notion of having to arrange for the death of Indra. Regrettably, I have grown too attached to sensual pleasure in the form of the woman present before me. Ruled by Maya, I will, with my mind corrupted, surely land in hell. How can one object against women following their nature in this world? But not knowing what is good for me any more, I am doomed, alas, with me being addicted to her, unable to control my senses. Who knows their ways? Her face is like a blossoming lotus flower in autumn, and her words are pleasing to the ear, but the heart of a woman is as sharp as a razor blade. A woman holds nobody dear just like that. She easily wishing for nobody but herself, is willing to kill or get killed, even her own dearest husband, father, son or brother. I have to keep my promise. I have to be true to what I said, but killing Indra cannot be the proper cause of action. I know something better. The powerful Muni, thinking thus, O descendant of Kuru, got slightly angry. He condemned himself for it and then spoke. Sri Kashyapa said, "Your son will, as a friend of the godless ones, get even with Indra, O gentle one, on the condition that you, for that purpose, for the time of a year, strictly keep to a vow." Diti said, "I accept such a vow, my dear Brahmin. Please tell me what I have to do and what is forbidden, as also what must be done not to break the vow." Sri Kashyapa said, "Harm no living being. Do not curse or speak a lie. Do not cut your nails and hair, nor touch impure things. Do not enter water for a bath. Do not get angry, nor speak with wicked people. Do not wear dirty clothes, or ever wear a flower garland that has been worn. Do not eat leftovers, nor food containing flesh that was offered to Kali. You must not eat food that a sudra eats, or food provided by a woman in her menses, and do not drink water by cupping your hands. Do not go out in the evening, nor, after having eaten, without having washed yourself, or with your hair loose, without ornaments, without being grave, and without being covered. Do not lie down without having washed your feet, without being purified, with your feet wet, and with your head northward or westward, nor go to bed naked, in the company of others, or during sunrise or sunset. In clean clothes, always being washed and adorned with all auspicious things, you should worship the cows, the Brahmins, the goddess of fortune, and the infallible one before breakfast. With presentations of garlands, sandalwood pulp, and ornaments, you should worship women who have a living husband and a son, and you must worship your own husband with offering prayers. You should also meditate on his presence in your womb. Free from violations, keeping to this vow of Pumsavana for producing a male child for a year, there will be a son for you to kill Indra." Assenting to it, Diti thus joyously received the semen from Kashyapa, O king, and lived strictly to the vow. "O dear king of respect for all, Indra, understanding what his aunt had in mind, then cleverly approached Diti to serve her during the time she stayed in an ashrama. Every day he brought her flowers, fruits, roots, and wood from the forest for the sacrificial fire, as also leaves, kusha grass, sprouts, earth, and water when she needed it. O ruler of men, serving her as deceitful as a hunter pretending to be a deer, Indra tried to find a fault in her dutiful observance of the vow. But he could not discover a single failure in her practice, and thus, O master of the world, he in his desire wondered anxiously, 'How can I find my well-being in this world?' Once, though, she, weakened because of the vow, did not touch water after she had eaten, did not wash her feet, and went, confused about the rules, to sleep at dusk. Upon noticing her mistake, Indra, as a master of yoga, by the power of his mystical ability, entered the womb of Diti, who unconscious lay asleep. With his thunderbolt, he cut the embryo that had a golden appearance in 7 pieces, and cut each crying piece into 7 more, telling them not to cry. They all in pain, with folded hands, said to him, 'O ruler, why do you want to kill us? O Indra, we are your brothers, the Marats.' to this group of faithful souls, the Maruts, he then said, "You are my brothers, do not fear." Just as you, my dear Parikshit, did not die from the weapon of Ashwatthama by the mercy of Srinivasa, Diti's embryo, being cut in many pieces by the thunderbolt, did not die. When a person worships the original person, he immediately gets a grip on his life as for time and measure. And so it happened with Diti, who for almost a year had worshipped the Lord. In order to compensate for the faults made by the mother, the Lord changed the 49 parts that Indra had created, the Maruts, into the 50 demigods together with Indra, who became soma drinkers, priests. Waking up, Diti saw the children, along with Indra, shining as bright as fire. It was a view the goddess, being purified after her penance, was very pleased about. She thereupon said to Indra, "Desiring a son who would be the fear and end of the 12 Adityas, I executed this vow that is so difficult to fulfill. I prayed for one son only, but now there are 49 of them. How could that happen? If you know that, my dear son, then speak to me and do not tell me lies." Indra said, "O mother, having understood what your vow was, I approached you and found a fault. In my self-interest, having lost sight of the Dharma, I thereupon cut the embryo to pieces. The embryo was cut in 7 parts by me, and they became 7 babies. And even though I cut each of them also in 7 parts, none of them died. Witnessing that great miracle, I thereupon decided that it had to be some side effect of your worship of the Supreme Personality. Those who take interest in worshipping the Supreme Lord without fostering desires are even indifferent about the liberation of attaining the transcendental position. One may consider them experts in enlightened self-interest. Would an intelligent person still covet any form of material satisfaction, even to be found in hell, when he has been of the worship by which he, the Lord of the universe and the most intimate Godhead, has given himself to him? O best of women, please excuse me for being such a fool with this evil deed of mine. O mother, by your good fortune, the child in you that I killed came back to life." Sri Shuka said, "Taking permission of her, satisfied about his good manners, Indra offered his respects and left together with the Maruts for the heavenly worlds. I've thus told you everything you asked me about the auspicious birth of the Maruts. What should I tell you further?"